Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel. Mark 10:17-30. So it's a story about conversion, basically. It's a story about impediments to following Christ. It's a story about perfection. And that's a very favourite theme of Mark's, that our perfection should mirror God's perfection. So it's not just a matter of following the commandments, but going beyond the commandments. And there's a whole Christian tradition in here of renunciation and abandonment and things like that. And lots of religious orders have great spiritual masters of this. So it's very easy to go wrong in this direction, and it's also quite easy to stay within wise boundaries. And that's the overpowering theme of the readings this Sunday, but the wisdom of God. So where is the wisdom of God in this particular gospel scene? So we have Jesus setting out the journey, and a young man ran up, knelt before him and put this question to him: "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus picks up on this good master. It's a rare title for a rabbi, good master. Master is like teacher, but good. And Jesus rightly says, who is good but God alone? So there's a hint that maybe the guy recognizes Jesus as the personification of God. He's so wise and so good. And the commandments are gone through. You know all these commandments. And he says, "Master, I've kept all these from my earliest days." Jesus looked steadily at him and loved him. So there's a gesture here that Mark records of Jesus looking at him and loving him. And he said, "There's one thing you lack." And he gives a straight command: "Go and sell everything you own and give the money to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven." Elsewhere in like Matthew and Luke, you have, if you want to get eternal life, sell what you have. But here's just a direct commandment, no conditions, no ifs, but go and sell everything you own and give the money to the poor. But his face fell at these words and he went away sad, for he was a man of great wealth. So he wasn't able to make this sacrifice. He wasn't able to turn away from his possessions to trust in the command, that even the information that Jesus gave, and you will have treasure in heaven. So there's a degree of trust that wasn't here, although he esteemed Jesus' teaching. So Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Now that's followed by the disciples were astounded by these words. The Jewish tradition in the Old Testament had a lot of references to the blessings that God gave to people through their wealth. And you would find this in some Christian modern day fundamentalists who regard the blessings of God as, you know, good suits and good cars and good homes and good jobs, etc. But here Jesus says how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. So that's why they were astounded, on religious grounds rather than on any sense of the difficulty of a spiritual life if you have riches. Now we would look at this in terms of how difficult it is to truly be a disciple if you're attached to your wealth. And this whole gospel is about much more than money. It's about possessions. It's about anything that you can sort of bank your life on. And some people bank their lives on their reputation, their promotion at work, their own comfort, their own spiritual, physical comfort at home, their holidays. All these things can be sources of life for people. And this is the basic challenge in this whole reading. Can you give it up? Can you live without these things? Can you trust Jesus when he says you will have treasure in heaven? Can you do without these things? Now, this is where it can get kind of crazy, because some people think, oh, these are bad things, riches and comfort and esteem and promotion. No, that's quite wrong. These are good things. But the trouble comes when these good things can come in the way of trusting God, where we can't do without these good things, where our lives are conditional on having these good things. And as St. Paul says, you can be rich, you can be poor, but you're still a follower of Jesus. And that's the main thing, to be a disciple, to put his word before any other direction in our lives. So it's about detachment. That's the, you'd hear that word in the spiritual life, detachment from these things. They can be in your possession, but they don't possess you. They don't own you, they don't determine your choices. So here we have the young man, the man, I don't know where we get young from, but anyway, it's a tradition. How hard it is. It's easier for a camel to enter into the kingdom of God than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I don't know whether there are many camels in the kingdom of God. Anyway, this particular text can be taken in about four different ways. Camel could be a mistranslation of another Greek word that's very like a chameleon, which is a cable. Now, a cable to go through the eye of a needle is tough. The eye of a needle actually was a very narrow gate in Jerusalem. So you could take one translation of it as being a camel laden down with bags on each side, couldn't get through the eye of a needle, a narrow gate. You had to unload the camel. So there's a sense of going forward into the spiritual life without being burdened by all these things, leaving them behind, as indeed is what happens when you enter into religious life. Not secular priesthood, by the way, but committed like Franciscan or Poor Clares, etc., those kinds of lives. So it's an itsy wee thing, but not deadly important. So they said to each other, in that case, who can be saved? Verse 26. Jesus gazed at them. Another gaze of Jesus. He says, for men it is impossible, but not for God, because everything is possible for God. So that softens this very, very hard and strict impossibility of a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. God's mercy, God's power, God's goodness. So Peter took this up, and what about us? He said, we have left everything and followed you. Indeed, they had left their fishing boats and their nets and their partners and everything else, commitments to fishing shops and all the rest of it when you think of it. But I tell you solemnly, there's no one who has left houses, etc., will not be repaid 100 times over. So that's
what we're having physical.
Beg your pardon. Sorry about that. The list of good things that are going to happen. You're going to have houses and brothers and sisters and fathers. And then, not without persecutions, is inserted there. Time of Mark, persecutions were rampant, you know, they were a very, very dangerous time. And he wrote this in Rome, so he was in the heart of it all, and people were disappearing all over the place. It was a huge time of persecution when this was written. And the world to come, eternal life. So there we have it, that's the text, and just if I can get this going, some thoughts for you to discuss. As we change, we grow, and we leave behind ways of being that may have been comfortable for us. We grow and are called then to leave something behind. It could be a job or a situation, or status, home, security, and something else we value. There can be apparent loss in letting go, but when you have found the growth that you gained by letting go, then there's a joy and a freedom in it. So could you share something in your life that you've found by letting go something else? And another thing you could talk about would be the disciples thought that Jesus was making impossible demands of people following him. He acknowledged that discipleship was impossible to us on our own efforts alone. How have you experienced the benefits of the help of others and of God when you were faced with difficulties in life? So let's pray. God of wisdom, whose word probes the motives of our hearts, with you all things are possible. Let worldly treasure not keep us from Jesus, who looks on us with love. Free us to leave all things and follow him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. So God bless you as you sit together and reflect.